children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO Portland, and the time now is 11 o'clock. Coming up at 11:30 on The Boo, This Way Out brings you global LGBTQ news. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by members' support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate. And now stay tuned for Radiozine. They'll be talking to Comedia Mo Welch about her new book, How to Die Alone. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m.
I wanna be alone, I wanna be alone, I wanna be alone, except for my cat. I wanna be alone, I wanna be alone, except for my cat and also my phone. I know that I'm supposed to be hanging with friends and like dating, but instead I am hating the idea that I would ever leave my cat and my phone in my home. I mean, I have so many snacks here you don't even understand. So I'll stay alone. Why is the music still going? Isn't that enough for you guys? I mean, okay, I sang. What do you want me?
Well, good morning. I guess almost afternoon. You're tuned into Radio Zine here on KBOO Community Radio. That song you just heard is from comedian Mo Welch's digital short series titled Blair on TBS Digital. Mo has appeared on Conan and has written for Nickelodeon, TBS, and CBS. She recently came out with an anti-self-help book titled How to Die Alone, The Foolproof Guide to Not Helping Yourself. Here in studio to talk with me about the joys of being alone and being a cat lady in life as a stand-up comedian, cartoonist, and now author, Mo Welch. Thanks for coming in, Mo.
My pleasure.
So, How to Die Alone. You know, this. I get a lot of books that come in just from publishers sending us stuff, and most of them, I'm just like, oh, okay, here's some fiction, okay, here's some prose. And then this one just popped out.
Right.
Because I feel like every single volunteer that has walked through my office over the last month is like, oh my gosh, I want to read that. And so many people have read it and they have two reactions. They say, oh my gosh, I feel so seen, or I feel so attacked. And I felt a little bit of both, but I was like, I need to get Mo Welch in because I think we might have a connection.
Like, yeah, I think a lot of people do that. They'll be like, my friend tagged me in one of your posts and I was offended, but I also really related to it. And I was like, perfect. I was like, I'm offended by my own life, too.
So if you've never had a chance to follow Mo Welch on her Instagram, she has a character named Blair, a cartoon character named Blair, that is hysterical because she's cynical, she's alone, she's a cat lady, and she very much, I don't know if she enjoys it, but she definitely lives it and lives it to its fullest.
Yeah, she's proud of it.
So can you tell us a little bit about Blair? Where does Blair come from?
Well, Blair... I was at my mom's house in Lombard, Illinois, and I was staying there, and I was at rock bottom, and I just like had gotten broken up with by a couple of people. I was like, my comedy career wasn't going well, and I was just crying, eating a Pop-Tart at her house, like making the Pop-Tart very moist, and I thought it was so funny. I was like crying. So much of it was sad, but I was like, this is so ridiculous. Like, I wish I could, you know, make this into a joke, but I thought maybe I'll just draw it out. And so I drew this, you know, what I thought I looked like, and I just drew it real quick and then wrote a joke about a Pop-Tart, and that kind of started everything. It was just like starting at this low point in my life.
Well, so it comes from this place of actually very much feeling alone. And was it sort of like a therapy to help you feel better? Like, what did drawing Blair do for you?
Totally. I mean, Blair's really therapeutic. So is like writing in general, writing jokes. But I think sitting down and having a sad, you know, sad moment and then turning it into a joke just makes you live in the moment, which obviously makes you, your life feel better.
Well, let's talk about Blair's, so this book, How to Die Alone, it's hysterical. Let's see. I got to find the Blair's five-step plan for dying alone.
Mm-hmm.
One, become an antisocial hermit. Two, earn the worst friend award. I think that's one of my favorite chapters because that's where I felt attacked. I was like, oh my God, I didn't know. Three, get an F at your job. Four, wreck your health. I am winning at that. Mm-hmm. Five, avoid romance like the plague. That pretty much describes what I think people think of as like millennials.
Right.
And so when I first saw the five-step plan, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that that was already written out and other people knew the same life plan as me.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that millennials just don't care about marriage as much. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to buy houses. They're not cut from the same cloth as our parents.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about before we went on the air about identifying as a millennial, that you didn't mm-hmm. realize you were a millennial for a while.
Right.
And I kind of wonder what is your take on being labeled as a millennial, or do you feel like you're part of that generation because you've written this book here that speaks so much to what people think of as the millennial experience?
Basically, when I was writing the book, they just, you know, all the questions were about being a millennial, and I was like, oh, am I a millennial? And it turns out I am. But I feel like I could talk to millennials, but I'm definitely on that line because I don't relate to everything. Like, I would never go to a music festival.
Oh, yeah. But that's because I think, like, that's me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, music festivals sound exhausting.
Right.
And that's where I turn back to the How to Die Alone, the foolproof guide to not helping yourself, or I'm like, oh, I'm this kind of millennial, because I thought that that was like something I was missing out on. I was like, oh, I'm not Coachella-ing, I'm not Burning Man-ing
right.
with any sort of passion. I have a serious passion to not go to those things.
Yeah.
And so then when I see this, I'm like, oh, there's like many flavors of millennial.
Oh, totally.
Where there's the ones who want to dive in too much, where there's the FOMO.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the JOMO.
Yeah.
And that's very much Blair. And that's the, was it? So
joy of missing out. Yeah.
I was like, I don't even know what FOMO stands for. Like,
yeah.
That's, I have no fear of missing out.
That's how you know you have absolutely no fear.
So do you feel like you have JOMO?
I mean, personally, I definitely have a little bit more FOMO than Blair does. Blair's like so much more confident than I am. But
really?
Yeah, like, there's always going to be a FOMO because I mean, I'm a comedian, so I go out like every night to do shows. And if I miss a show, I'm kind of like, oh man, what did I miss out on? Was it like a great audience that would have loved me? You know, probably not.
Is there ever a part of you, because you describe being a hermit so incredibly well. See, everyone listen. I want that book. It's so much. It's square. It's great. But hermit tip number one, if you're uncertain about going out, just say no.
Yeah.
I like that because that's my personal default
mm-hmm.
in life. And so it's, you know, when it comes to being brave. And so I think it's interesting that you're saying that Blair's more brave because we tend to think of maybe as hermits, as people who are like maybe afraid of the world. But
right.
I also had that thought when I was seeing all these kind of cynical things that Blair is saying about just wanting to stay in. I also had that thought of, is she so cynical versus does she just really know herself and is not feeling that pressure to have to do the FOMO when a lot of people maybe don't feel that way?
Right. No, she definitely knows herself. And she's also part of these events. So she's still getting invited to her friend's baby shower. She's just going to tell you everything that's wrong with it while she's there. And like, you know, a lot of, you know, losing a friend is something that happens to her, you know, a lot. But she still has her, in my mind, she has her high school friends. Because sometimes you like keep friends for so long that it just becomes a thing and there's just no way to cut them out of your life. You're like, it becomes like a, well, it's been 25 years. What am I going to do? Stop, you know, hanging out with my horrible friend now. No.
Yeah, I totally had that experience the other day. We'll see if this friend is listening. Hey, I'm about to explain our awkward relationship, dude, where it's like I've known this person forever, and we probably do like a once-a-year check-in where it's like we get through it real fast. Mm-hmm. It's like, what you doing? How's the job? How's the health? How's your parents? Okay, and we're done. And we totally know that we have nothing to really talk about.
Right.
We have nothing in common anymore except this old relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's the part of me that wishes I could say the things out loud, like Blair totally does. And
yeah.
So Blair is free in that way, I think, for us, where it's like, I wish I could say that.
Oh, totally.
And so my question to you, as someone who is the old, I guess you're the alternate persona of Blair. Are you Blair, like, in those, have you said those things out loud? Have you been a terrible friend?
I'm getting better at saying things. I think, like, as you get older, you're just, like, impatient.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening, not just necessarily to my friends, but if something happens to me in the moment, I think I'm better at reacting than I used to be, like, you know, go back to your place. And you're like, oh, I wish I would have said this, and I wish I would have said that. And now I'm like, oh my God, I said that. And it was almost really bad, but I did it. I'm happy I said it.
And I don't know if this is your experience, but my experience in getting older, I feel like you get more secure about saying the things that maybe make you afraid. But also I kind of wondered, in a generational time, that maybe millennials here, let's speak on behalf of the millions of us here, but that maybe we're kind of like a culture as millennials who are a little more forthright. Like, we're in this time where everyone's talking about being like really authentic and saying your truth. And I sort of wondered that too, like, because I've done this way more now. And I'm mm-hmm. like, is this because I'm older? Or like, if I'm at social gatherings, I just tell people, I'm like, wow, I feel so socially awkward. I don't know what to say to you. And right now, all I'm thinking of is how many different jammies I wish I was wearing simultaneously at once instead of talking to you.
Right.
Just being authentic. And people like totally don't get offended because they're so used to it now.
Yeah, and they probably relate to that too.
Right. So I wonder if that's a millennial thing.
Right. I don't know if it's a millennial thing, but I'm giving ourselves more credit. I think the more like you read about whatever is going on in Me Too or Time's Up or whatever, I think that I get really angry in a good way, and I like want to turn that into like, I'm going to say something next time. And but then you have to like pick your battles too, because I live in Los Angeles and everyone has road rage, and I'm like, I could get killed if I say something right now.
I'll talk to you about like figuring out what to say and living in this time of Me Too, and you know, here you're living a life where you have a career where you're saying things in public and such. And I kind of wonder what your experience has been like as a stand-up comedian, living in Los Angeles. That is a tough market, and here you are, you know, I know you've identified yourself as like queer and female, mm-hmm. and that's tough enough in, you know, the comedic industry, and you're already taking on this industry. It's like, my God. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what has your experience been in stand-up? How long have you been doing stand-up now?
It's been 10 years. It'll be 11 years this August.
Wow.
And a lot has changed. I mean, I've changed a lot since I was, you know, in my early 20s. And a lot has changed within, you know, I feel like the workplace is a little bit more appropriate, which can be hard because this is a workplace where you're out till, you know, 1 a.m. and there's a lot of drunk people around you.
Yeah,
and these are the people you're playing to. So it's changed a lot. It definitely has changed a lot for the better. But that being said, I'm 10 years into it. I don't know what it's like for somebody who's starting and they're at the open mics and the jokes are a lot different. They're not as good. They can be very problematic. And mostly the people are problematic, you know. So I can't speak to what it's like to be new in comedy, because that's always going to be a crapshoot.
Have you felt like this was a natural thing for you to get into when you first started doing stand-up? Did it feel like, oh, this is home, I want to be here all the time, someone just give me a mic? Or was it something that you like had to train yourself into? How does Mo Welch get yourself
well
into
I
stand-up?
Was very, you know, shy as a kid. I mean, I had my friend group where I was open, but I had major stage fright. Like at an icebreaker in a classroom, I would count down the people before me and be like, okay, hi, My name is Mo Welch. I'm from here. This is how old I am, you know? And so I had like horrible anxiety about that. And when I started comedy, it was kind of a release in a way. Like, I would hate to see the tapes of me then, but I just was like, I just persevered. And I'm like, I'm just going to do this. Because the second I did stand up, I was like, this is my life. I love it so much. And I was never a performer before that. And so it, I mean, the learning curve, it took years and years for me to be comfortable on stage. Probably like 7 years. It was very sweaty for 7 years.
There's something else I enjoy about the new book, How to Die Alone. There's a lot of talking about sweating and just sweating profusely through moments. And I'm glad to know that I'm not the only one. So, by the way, if y'all are about to meet me in real life, that's what to get ready
for.
Yeah,
be aware.
Yeah, there's slippery handshakes happening. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Radio Zine, and we're talking to comedian and cartoonist and author Mo Welch. We'll be back in just a minute.
I got a half compliment from a man at my local bar. It was raining. I walked in from across the bar. He's like, hey, you know, you kind of look like Charlize Theron. Well. Like, yeah, I just rewatched Monster. Yep. Just like her. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know these people. There's a lot of them in LA. They put stickers on the back window of their car, and it's their entire family. It's like a stick figure of their entire family. It's like a dad and a mom and 3 kids and a dog. I can't stand those people. They're just bragging to all the single people out there with one sticker that says, just me. And then when it rains, it looks like they're crying. Like, I would give any amount of money to see the moment when that couple realizes that their marriage is no longer going to happen. It's not working. They walk out to the driveway, their heads down, and just slowly peel off that dad sticker, slap it on an Uber, go into his brother's futon. Clear my bank account for that.
And we're back. You're listening to Radio Zine here on KBOO Community Radio. Today I'm talking with comedian, artist, and author Mo Welch, who is in town for her reading at Pal's Books tonight at 7:30 for her new book, How to Die Alone, The Foolproof Guide to Not Helping Yourself. And that was a clip from her recent appearance on Conan O'Brien. And that was your second appearance, right?
Right.
And that was just a couple months ago?
Yeah.
How was that for the first time? Because, right, you were just on Conan for the first time in 2018?
Right. Mm-hmm. So, and then about a year later.
Wow. So yeah, doing the big national TV thing, what was that like to go on Conan for the first time?
I mean, it's great. I always looked up to Conan growing up. And so it was awesome to meet him and to be there. And I thought the first set went, you know, really great. And that's like where you're so used to being on stage and then you do something like that and the adrenaline kicks in and you're like, this is so terrifying, but it feels so good at the same time.
Well, you didn't look terrified in your clip, so.
That's what they say. They're just like, you look so cool and collected. And I'm like, I'm not. Like, I don't know. My body just goes numb.
The things you're screaming on the inside.
Right.
And it's very much a reflection of what's in your book, on the How to Die Alone book. There's so many things that the main character of your book is a character named Blair, who is kind of Mo, but we've been told is a little bit braver than Mo. And and she definitely is talking about how to be a hermit. So if you are a little bit of a hermit on the inside, I can imagine that TV can be a little bit terrifying. But isn't it that funny? You know, just thinking that how a lot of people who I know who are the biggest hermits have some of the most public jobs.
Right.
Like, everybody I know in radio is a hermit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like comedians, stand-up comedians I meet also are like, so many of them are hermits.
And they're also not the funniest, you know, outside of it. You know, most of the time people, like when I'm forced to tell my Lyft driver that I'm a comedian, they're just like, you don't seem like you're a comedian or you don't seem funny. And I'm like, I'm not, like, you're not paying me. I'm paying you. I don't have to be funny right now.
That's funny. Well, I think you're being very funny right now, but granted, hey, you're on the clock right now, I guess. Because you're doing this tour right now for this book, and you're going to be at Powell's tonight. And is it just you doing a reading, or what's happening at Powell's tonight?
Stacey Halal, who is a comedian here in Portland, will also be doing a Q&A with me. So I'll probably read a little bit of the book. But, you know, as you can see, the book probably takes 10 minutes to read. So I'll just, like, read a little bit of it, and then we'll have a conversation and a Q&A after.
I'll say that I think it took me maybe, like, 13 or 14 minutes.
Great.
Because
that's good.
There were moments I literally clapped. So I was like, thanks for validation. Because one of my favorites, which I actually did this after I read it in your book, some endorsement, is I put a start on the couch and a finish on my fridge.
That's
in your
great
book, it says, put a start on your couch, put a finish sign on your fridge. Look, you just won a race.
Yeah.
And now I realized I'm successful every day.
Exactly. That's how you have to look at it. We can make our own rules.
Yeah, like so many rules in here are just life. You know, we were you're kind of talking about who identifies with this book. But something you had kind of mentioned to me off radio a little earlier was that how multiple generations of your family identify with the book. So
right,
even though people our age might see this as, oh, is this like a generational thing, and it's very much describing millennials, it seems like your grandparents, you said.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think everyone can relate to wanting to be, like, we feel like we have to go somewhere, and all we want to do is be at home. I mean, that's, like, pretty standard. And there are a lot of times where you're out, and you're just, like, thinking about, like, I will be thinking about, like, my pet when I'm out, and I'm just like, wonder what they're doing. And I have, like, a pet cam. I just, like, watch them while I'm out. And it's just, I think that I think everyone can feel that way. I mean, my mom, she really relates to it too. It's just that part of us that's a little pessimistic.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, the pessimism, because as a kid, I remember always being told, like, you're so cynical. You're so, and I always remember thinking, I'm not negative. I just tell the truth.
Yeah, exactly. And that makes me, it makes me happier to tell the truth, even if it comes off as cynicism.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, when I think about when people say, like, well, don't you ever get lonely sleeping alone? I'm like, sleeping alone? I got three dogs and we snuggle.
Right.
They wake me up in the morning. Like, I totally have spooning time.
Yeah.
What are you people all talking about?
And what's wrong with, like, more room in the bed anyways?
Yes.
Seems like you live a better life. You get better sleep. I know a lot of people that are sleep divorced. Like, they're married, but they sleep in different rooms. Cause they're like, what are we doing? You snore. You wake me up all the time.
I don't know many people who actually sleep in the same bed.
Right.
Right. And one of your shorts that they are on YouTube for the TBS digital shorts is about divorce and how Blair goes over to their friend's house because, you know, they saw that they got a divorce, of course, on Facebook.
Right.
And they needed to go back and ask for their wedding gift back.
Right.
And I really like that short just because you're really talking about the kind of reality that I feel like a lot of, especially like millennials are going through, where I forget what the statistic you name in that, but it's something like over 70% of marriages end in divorce.
She was lying too.
But even if it feels that way,
yeah,
like where definitely the last wedding I went to, I really thought about it and I felt so bad. Oh, okay. So hopefully friends don't know who was the last one he went to. But where I just thought that I was like, are you just going to get a divorce?
Right.
Like, sometime soon. And so then, like, how nice of a gift do I get you?
Exactly.
And am I allowed to ask for it back? Because it's kind of cool.
Exactly. And there's, like, a lot of registries. It honestly will be, like, you know, like a $300 flat sheet for your bed. And you're like, no one even uses a flat sheet. I always tear that thing off. And that's what Blair, I think, was going back to get.
She was, flat sheet.
Yeah, some napkin rings.
Yeah. But she asked this great question of her friend. She's like, you know, if you know that, you know, most marriages are going to end in divorce, why are you asking for such nice gifts? And she's like, well, if you know that it's going to end in divorce, why are you giving such good gifts? And
right,
then she answers the truthful answers that, like, I don't want people to see me not give you a gift and then I'm a bad friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I just feel like
it's all about, like, how we, I mean, I feel like a lot of friendships go that way too. You're like, am I being a good friend instead of just, like, naturally being a good friend? We're just, like, worried about the way that we're perceived.
Yeah. And and there's even a section in the How to Die Alone where she talks about that, like, how to be the worst friend. But then when I when I was looking at that list of like what makes you a bad friend, I was like, or maybe that's just like kind of honest, like when people are being themselves. It's a tough thing to figure out what are those boundaries of when are you being healthy alone,
mm-hmm.
and is hermitage so bad?
Right.
I wonder this as like, especially I'm a Japanese person. And so, of course, I'm coming from a culture where there's a lack of babies going on and like no one's getting married anymore. And people are worried about that. I'm like, to me, that just seems like millennial future.
Right.
Like, they're just
does.
Doing it en masse.
Yeah.
And is that so bad?
It's so true. I mean, most people are having babies a lot later now. I mean, like, I'm saying most people, but also I live in a bubble. Like, you know, it's not the same world. My sister lives in central Illinois, and it's a completely different world for her. But just speaking to what I know, people are getting, you know, married later. They're maybe waiting for a better partner.
Or even just being alone forever, right? Like in Europe, the alone but together phenomenon where people like have kids but they never get married, or
right.
they're partners forever, or they get married but they never live together. So alone together is very much a thing. And yeah, so who knows? We'll see.
I love when people are like, no, I don't think I'll ever get married. Like, yeah. I love my work and I'm not, you know, afraid to say that. Like, not so much a workaholic, just like I'd rather be doing this. I'd,
yeah.
you know, they would rather be touring the country than, you know, settling down. I get that too.
Yeah, for sure. I've always kind of wondered this in myself of just like how much of it do, like, because I always think, oh man, there's something wrong with me. And I'm like, no, I just like enjoy alone time.
Right.
Yeah. I like the how many times you mentioned sweatpants in the book.
Sweatpants are great now because I think they're accepted outside of the house.
Right. Like just... when the whole yoga pant thing started, I was like, sweet.
Right. You're like, this could go somewhere really great for me. And I was just waiting for the baggy sweatpants to come in. I was like, yes, they're back. Yeah, and I can wear them out.
Yeah, because now I feel like, well, now I look classy.
Mm-hmm.
Look very, very classy.
And I saw some pajamas online the other day, and it looked like a gorgeous outfit. So part of me was like, next time I'm on TV, I'm going to wear this beautiful pajama set.
See if anybody notices.
Yeah.
Or maybe all your fans will start writing and be like, you are becoming Blair.
Right. You are now Blair. Yeah.
Well, we're almost running out of time, so I want to make sure... what are the details of your daily tonight if people want to come see Blair live?
It's at Powell's at 7:30. And yeah, we'll do the talk and the Q&A, and then there's a signing afterwards. And the talks are usually really fun. They're funny, hopefully. And the questions are always great. And, you know, throw me for a loop, too. I'm like, I don't know the answer to that.
And if you want to see more of Blair, people can check out your Instagram, which right. is actually where you can see all of Blair, which you've been doing for, you say, 5 years
yeah.
of Blair.
Yeah, that's you can just sit at home and, you know, if you don't want to come out, I get it, but sit at home, go to at Momo Welch on Instagram.
And is there any other socials or websites that people, if they want to learn more about you?
Yeah, mowelch.com. I think I have everything there as long as I pay the Squarespace monthly fee. It'll be up there.
So you can do that when you're sitting at home alone in your hermitage
of right.
things to do. But then maybe because you're in such hermitage, you got to find something else to do. Right? Just like pet your cat.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know I do
that. Takes a lot of time.
Every time I'm like, man, I need an adult. Oh, God, look at my dog.
My dog's in his 50s. Yeah.
He's not going to live for so long. I better pay attention to that instead of adulting. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. We are all out of time for today. So you've been listening to a conversation with comedian, cartoonist, and author Mo Welch. To find out more about all about her new book, How to Die Alone, The Foolproof Guide to Not Helping Yourself, you can go to her website at mowelch.com, or you can find her on the socials at Momo Welch. Mo will be at Powell's Books tonight, having a conversation and book signing with the founder of Portland's Curious Comedy Theater, Stacey Hillel, tonight at 7:30 p.m. Thank you again, Mo, for being on Radio Zine today.
Thank you.
If you missed any part of the interview, you can go onto our website, kbu.fm, to hear all this interview and all our past episodes. So for KBU Community Radio, I'm Jenny Yokoyama. Thanks for tuning in. May is Asian and Pacific Islander American Heritage Month. So to recognize our Asian and Pacific Islander American identified community, KBU will be airing all Asian and Pacific Islander programming from 8 a.m. until 4 p.m. on Friday, May 3rd. That day, we'll be airing features from your favorite API KBU programmers. Tune in to hear episodes of Lip Fantastic, APA Compass, DMA Roberts award-winning series Crossing East, and an all-new Pacific Underground and music playlist by Sun Lee and DJ Diablo. That's Asian and Pacific Islander American Heritage Day, Friday, May 3rd from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., only on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. For more information and program schedule, just go to our website at kboo.fm.
My name is Pete Buttigieg. I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for president of the United States. The horror show in Washington is mesmerizing. It's all-consuming. But starting today, we're going to change the channel.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Marriage equality debuts in Japan's court system, European Lesbian Conference overcomes tear gas-toting protesters, and Buttigieg's presidential bid breaks into the big time. Those stories and more this week, now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 20th, 2019. A court in Japan began hearing the country's first lawsuit challenging the definition of civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual. Article 24 of the nation's constitution says that marriage shall be based only on the mutual consent of both sexes. 13 couples filed the lawsuit on Valentine's Day. They range in age from their 20s to 60s. In addition to ending Japan's marriage inequality, they're demanding financial compensation of 1 million yen and all trial costs. On the first day of the trial, two of the plaintiffs described the challenges they face every day, including social stigma in the conservative country. 40-year-old breast cancer survivor Haru Ono has been with her partner for 14 years. She discussed the difficulties the couple faced during her treatment when the hospital denied her partner the right to participate in medical decision-making. She said that in addition to facing life-threatening illness, she had to worry about parental custody and inheritance issues